Are we living in a time right now when the word of the Lord is rare and visions are not widespread? With this winter of crazy weather and crazier politics and no Packers in the playoffs, perhaps we are also living in a tense and troubled time where we feel like strangers in a familiar land. Later this year, on November 27th, 2018, we will reach our church's 140th anniversary of living and moving and having our being as the body of Christ we call First Presbyterian Church of Marshfield. And coming this Saturday, you will officially install me as your new pastor. So this boundary time is a good time to ask again, which way is God calling us to go? The current climate calls us to listen, perhaps like we never have before. What can we learn from today's scripture that can help us wake up and become more attuned to God's vision for us here and now? I am struck by two moves in this story. First, God's choice of medium. God gets through to old Eli by giving the word to young Samuel, a boy whom we are told did not yet know the Lord. And second, the seemingly abrupt turn in Eli from being literally and metaphorically asleep, dim, dismissive, and deaf to God's voice, to becoming completely obedient and accepting of God's unmitigated criticism and condemnation. First, who would expect that young Samuel, son of Elkanah, an Ephraimite, growing up with his scoundrel adopted big brothers, Hophni and Phinehas, would be the one to whom God would entrust this hard wake-up call message? Certainly, the choice of such an unlikely medium would have been a surprise back then. What about us? You'd think by now we would have come to recognize this choice of an unlikely spokesperson as a signature move of God. The voice of God has continued to speak from unexpected places and inopportune moments ever since. A prime example is the man whose birthday we will honor with a national holiday on Monday. Back in 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was an unlikely spokesperson, being an unknown black preacher from the Deep South. He surprised and scared the white establishment with the size, the spirit, and the message of the March on Washington in 1963. God spoke to our country through Dr. King's words, woke up our country through his I Have a Dream speech, in which he set forth a new vision of this country based on the founding principles of our nation and our Bible. A vision that we believe in, had forgotten, or perhaps in light of Dr. King's message, began to understand in a new way that day in 1963. But now, over 50 years later, we look back and perceive that as a watershed moment for our country. Were we listening? Were we and those in positions of power ready to make the changes necessary to fulfill that vision? If you haven't listened to that speech recently, I encourage you to YouTube it and listen to it today or tomorrow. And then let's talk about what you hear in light of where we are today. So not only does God's word arrive in surprising mediums, it is not always what we want to hear. Not then, not now. As William Sloan Coffin, Presbyterian pastor, author, and peace activist, once wrote, "God loves us as we are, but too much to leave us there. In love, God has some tough words, harsh judgment for Eli, that would make the ears of anyone who hears it tingle. Eternal punishment for blaspheming God, for abusing the sacred trust even in the Holy of Holies." So the young voice of Samuel was the medium through which Eli was able to hear this message. Do you wonder why the story recounts not one, not two, but three times that Samuel woke up Eli, thinking it was Eli calling him, before Eli perceived, as the story tells us, that the Lord was calling the boy Samuel. Lewis Tillman, a young adult African-American seminary intern at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Minneapolis, surprised me with a whole different take on Eli's delay in perceiving the Lord's voice in this story. Lewis was leading H-Cubed, an open mic ministry, as a seminary intern at Redeemer Lutheran when I was doing my doctoral research there, the center of which was interviewing and listening to young adults in church express what had drawn them to church. My standard closing interview question to each young adult I interviewed was, "What are your big questions and worthy dreams for the church?" Lewis responded immediately by raising a question that arises for him from this very story in 1 Samuel 3. Here's what Lewis said to me. "I really wrestle with the tension between Eli and Samuel in 1 Samuel 3. I've always felt like I have a lot of Elis in my life. I'm always saying, 'Speak, I'm ready to listen, ready to be taught and to learn.' But I always wrestle with, how long did Eli know that was God? But later there's that threat, 'You better tell me everything he says or else.'" I had never thought about the story of Eli and Samuel that way before my conversation with Lewis. Listening to his take on this story got me to thinking. Could Eli have known that it was God calling from the first time Samuel ran to him, but waited and held back? And then as God called out three times, only by the third time could Eli accept that young Samuel was the one who would be transmitting this message from God that he was pretty sure he didn't want to hear. This relates to the second move for us to consider today, the turn in Eli from denial to acceptance, from turning a blind eye to unflinching embrace of God's condemnation. This turn comes to light through Samuel's prophecy, but I bet the turn began with a slow realization of a hard truth that he had been keeping inside, a growing itch that at last could not be ignored. Lewis said one more thing during our conversation that woke me up to the varieties of gifts of each generation, each of the gifts that each generation has to offer. He spoke passionately, saying, "We need both generations to work together. They say because the young people have the energy and vision and the old have the wisdom. But then he says, I've met too many older folks who don't have any wisdom and aren't concrete thinkers. And I've met so many young people who are extremely lazy. So I find each generation has lots of both. I've met several old folks who have that energy and that wisdom. So it's just how to break down that barrier to build up trust so we can make effective change." I believe this intergenerational dialogue can extend to include children and teens as well. One of the older white women in the same congregation, Janet, shared this observation. She said, watching Pastor Kelly with children and youth, he listens to them. He spends time with them. They feel like they're heard. You don't have to wait until you're 18 or you're an adult or until old people retire to be valuable in this church. He asks them questions. What do you think about X, Y, or Z? And then he puts it into practice, not just in a report. He shapes what we do based on these conversations. I was struck by how a culture of listening and dialogue in a faith community might begin with how we listen to our children, our teens, and our young adults. I began to have a dream of pastoring a church where transformational dialogue could become a part of our spiritual ABCs, the alphabet of grace. What I kept hearing and seeing in all these conversations was this, how ready these young people are to engage with us, the Elis, to walk side by side with us so that we can do the work that needs to be done right now, the work of passing on the faith to the next generation. Could we do that? Could we do that here? There's a difference between passing on the faith and teaching young people to be church people so that they do church exactly the way we do it. Thank you. Do I hear an amen? I hear God calling us to pass on the faith, the flame and passion of the Holy Spirit to heal, renew, reconcile our way into Micah's vision, to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. What are we waiting for? These words are all too rare. This vision is not widespread. So we need to ask ourselves, what are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? What could we be doing differently? How many times does God need to keep calling us? Let us honor God with our listening attention across the generations. Let us begin at this table where Jesus is present and calls us to take, eat. And let us, like Samuel, say, here I am. Let us, as FPC of Marshfield, say, here we are. And let us be ready to listen. Amen.